Jerry Bader Show, 949. I wasn't kidding. We need to have Reed in for a full hour. And you know who else we need to get on is Congressman Sean Duffy. We really need to, but I'd like, it's so much better in studio this way and have him take calls. We will do that. There was a call, if you missed it. Jason, you know what I'd like you to do? When you get a chance, Mary's call just before the news there, could you pull that out and throw that in our system here? The whole thing, the whole exchange, me setting it up and Reed's interchange, his back and forth with her. I'm going to be revisiting that at some point. Because I know Republicans don't want to say the impeachment word, but that's her point. All right, you're saying we can't impeach him, and we can't. We agree that it's an extra constitutional power grab. Well, then what hope are we supposed to have? I thought Reed answered it pretty well. If you missed it, you can also find it in the podcast at jerrybadershow.com. But I do want to, at some point in the near future, come back to that. The Washington Post has a political blog called The Fix. Before I get into this, I would say this. I think most people who are close political observers, even here in Wisconsin, are surprised that the governor's race is as close as it is. Some people blame the John Doe document dump. I think it's a factor. The other factor is I think Mary Burke intentionally is being kept under wraps because that sets up a scenario, Scott Walker versus anybody else, a generic Democrat. I think that's why the polls are that close. It's really not Scott Walker versus Mary Burke at this point. They don't know her. But from outside the state, political observers are stunned that it's this close. Given the fact that he grew his margin a bit in the recall over the 2010 results with Tom Barrett. Chris Siliza, and I'm probably mispronouncing his name, or Siliza, I'm not sure, at The Fix in the Washington Post. It's odd to say, but the Wisconsin governor's race may be one of the sleeper contests in the country. Odd to say because Wisconsin and its governor, Scott Walker, spent the better part of 2 years in the national political spotlight after he pushed legislation that stripped public sector unions of collective bargaining rights and then faced down a recall effort in 2012. And he won the recall by a larger margin than 2010. After that, most national observers moved on, assuming Walker would get reelected in 2014, might even run for president in 2016. But while no one was watching, Wisconsin has turned into one of the closest governor's races in the country, with polling suggesting that Walker's in a dogfight with former Trek bicycle executive Mary Burke. And then he points to an ad that Burke is now running that says Scott Walker should be very, very worried about this ad. You got that ready, Jason? It didn't look like you were. Okay, that's all right. No worries. All right. That he should be very, very worried about this ad.
He made a pledge.
250,000 new jobs by the end of our first term in office.
And asked us to hold him to it.
Is this a campaign promise? Something you want to be held to?
Absolutely.
Today, Wisconsin is dead last in Midwest job growth. 10th out of 10.
Wisconsin lags behind most of the country when it comes to job growth.
And those 250,000 jobs, not even close. Broken promises, dead last in jobs. Scott Walker's not working for you.
His argument is this. Here's a Siliza, again, if I'm mispronouncing his name. This is why he thinks that's a very effective ad for Mary Burke. I've become convinced that the best read most effective negative ads in the modern political world are those that feature a politician's own words. The video of Walker promising that he would create 250,000 jobs is political gold and something the Burke campaign can just keep running on TV in lots of different iterations between now and November. And while Walker may have answers for why he isn't going to meet that particular promise, it doesn't change the fact that he made a promise and looks unlikely to deliver on it. If Walker somehow gets to 250,000 jobs by November, this attack has no legs, and he almost certainly wins. The ad also makes clear that Burke understands that the way to beat Walker is on jobs and the economy, not by focusing on his fights with public employee unions or ethics investigation into some members of his team. Both of those issues are the ones that the Democrat base loves. But Burke gets that, A, the Democratic base already hates Walker and is going to be behind her anyway, and B, the recall election proved that bashing Walker on collective bargaining alone isn't a winner, and C, the ethics stuff is far too convoluted to be effective in the context of a campaign with very few persuadable voters. That's a very smart strategic decision and avoids repeating the mistakes of the recall. By running a different kind of race, one focused wholly or close to it on jobs, Burke plays both to her strengths as a businesswoman and to Walker's biggest vulnerability. Promises made but not kept are dangerous things in politics. This is a very real race. I don't disagree with much of that. And this might explain why Walker's obsessing on the Trek outsourcing thing. Perhaps he feels the vulnerability on the jobs issue. Which is why he is trying. Now, I just think it's as simple as she's put all her eggs in the Trek basket, and he's trying to tip that basket over. I don't like the obsession, that's what it's become, that they have with outsourcing in the Walker campaign, and I think it is time to move on. But here's the thing, and I said this the other day. If she's staying away from Act 10, he should embrace it. Then there's this from Sean Sullivan in the Washington Post. Democrats failed to dislodge Scott Walker in a 2012 election, and former bike company executive Mary Burke thinks she knows why. It became a one-issue race, Burke told Post Politics during an interview in Washington Wednesday, referencing the Democratic focus on Walker's law curbing collective bargaining for public employees. The labor dispute was not a winnable issue in Wisconsin, Burke added. What the hell does she think the recall was about? They recalled him because they didn't like Act 10, and then they shouldn't have made the recall about Act 10? The hell should it have been about that? That is stunning to me. Well, it was the collective bargaining, the labor dispute was not a winnable issue in Wisconsin. Okay. She's right about that. They couldn't win on Act 10. That tells me Scott Walker did and can again. I don't understand why he isn't focusing more on this. Why isn't that? I know he has. But if she doesn't want to touch it, think about it. They try to remove him from office over Act 10, and she doesn't have a problem with the recall. She has a problem with focusing on Act 10 and the recall. What else would they recall him over? That was the whole point. It just shows how far they want to run from that. Well, we focused on the wrong thing. You focused on the reason for which he was being recalled. Now, a listener writes, I heard that ad from Burke a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it's not all that new. He says it won't win over any Republicans. What you're going after is that very, very narrow undecided in Wisconsin. I think it is a liability for him, to be honest with you. It's 9:58.
But I ride home laughing, look at me now. That the walls of my town, they come crumbling down.
The Jerry Bader Show.